Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
My computer. Hi, welcome to the show.
Why do you hate your computer?
I'm going through cleaning up windows and it just closed the window with my notes on it.
Hopefully it didn't throw them away.
I hope not. Anyways, it's going to be another one of those fun shows. I just know.
Yes.
Just coming
well,
right shoot.
Other than that, how was your damp morning?
Well, here in the city of Atlantis.
Okay.
The bell tolls.
As a matter of fact, it's amazing how much the microphones pick up.
Yeah.
Of course, it's aimed at the clock, so I guess that's okay.
That's right. Is that your nuclear-powered atomic clock?
No, as a matter of fact, this is a really nice old clock that has a wind-up clock. But I'm trying to figure out how many days it runs. It must be a 30-day clock or something like that because it just keeps running and keeps running. Of course, what will happen is I'll forget about it, and it'll stop running.
Stop.
And then I'll be in trouble. But what else is new? So.
That's true.
Anyway, that clock says it's 10 o'clock.
So, hey, what do you think we do the show today?
It was a few seconds late, but we've got all kinds of things. Hey, I tell you what, there's so much stuff going on that you can talk about nowadays. That you can't stick to any one particular subject or topic.
Like the legislature.
Well, yeah, good old Oregon is doing it to us. Good old Oregon is doing it to us. I can't believe.
Well, before we tell them what they're doing to us now, let's give out our contact information. And maybe if we do that right at the top of the show, people will give us a call.
That's a thought.
Yeah, you know, if we share that phone number. You know.
Okay, 646-721-9887. Now that's easy to remember.
Okay, let me see if I got it. All right.
Okay, 646. 721-9887.
9887. 646-721-9887. Can they call us any other way?
If you wish, I've always been told that you should say 9887. I don't like that myself, but some people like that better. 9887.
9887. 646-721-9887.
Correct. You've got it. You've got it, my dear. You've figured it out.
All right. That's it. We're done. Okay. Thank you.
And there you have the chat room open, I assume?
I do have the chat room open.
You know, I've seen so many people. I've been browsing around Blog Talk Radio to see what it works, what it does, and how it works. And an awful lot of people talk to people in the chat room. They people will chat to them and say things, and then they just answer the chats. They don't actually talk to them on the phone. And I guess that's one way, because this is not a toll-free number necessarily. Some people have old-fashioned phones that actually charge you to make phone calls, and so they can go to the chat room, and they can chat in the chat room, and it doesn't cost them anything.
Versus the 646-721-9887 number.
Right, which is not a toll-free number, but so many people have phones, like my cell phone. And I believe the telephone company Quest has a thing, too, now, that for a specific price you can make unlimited phone calls in the United States. So I think probably well over half of the population of the world, well, no, the United States, half of the population of the United States has this kind of a thing where you can make as many calls as you want to and it doesn't cost anything anyway. So there's no reason that you shouldn't call us. Go ahead and call us.
And especially, well, all the time, but I want to give a quick announcement that next week on the 26th, we have a special show. It's going to be a little bit different from our normal Oregon Update show, but this one here is we're going to have a special guest from Pennsylvania, I believe. Her name is Joe Dybill. I'm probably mispronouncing your name, of Angels Anchors Horse Haven Rescue Incorporated, which is an organization dedicated to saving horses bound for slaughter. And
so if you know anybody who's a horse fan, because there's a lot of horse people in the state of Oregon, just a ton of, especially around here, a lot of horse people. So let them know so they can listen in and perhaps participate.
Exactly.
And if they're around here, they don't have to pay a toll.
No.
Well, I don't know if they do or not.
Well, yeah, because it's out of state, unfortunately.
Wonder where 646 is.
But anyways, no, it should be a very interesting show. When I was interviewing Joe for the show, she was telling me some of the horrific stories that people do to some of these horses, and some of them are just they're young, healthy horses, and they just, they're either raised for a certain purpose, and they don't meet that purpose, then they're put out to slaughter. I mean, some people get a chance to buy them, but the ones that don't get sold, it's not just, you know, give them a shot and they go to sleep. I mean,
what I want to know is, why do we make a difference? I mean, we get all upset if somebody raises a horse to do one thing, and if they don't do it, they put them to sleep. Why don't we get upset at cows? We raise cows for a specific thing, and then we do put them to sleep. That's what we raise them for. Why don't we get upset about that? Well, I was going to say cows are people too, but anyway.
You really need to get out more
often. I know.
Anyway, just wanted to give that little shout out, a little promo for next week's show. It should be a very interesting and very educational show. And also, if you have any questions for Joe or any comments or whatever, you can send it to us at talk@krbnradio.com. But anyways, next week, the 26th at this time, should be a very interesting show.
Also, by the way, speaking of talk@krbnradio.com, if you have something that you want to have us discuss, or you want to discuss, or you want to hear about, or a question of any kind, you can do that at talk@krbnradio.com. Just leave us any kind of information you want to know about, and we'll try our best, our level best, to do something about that. Who knows what we'll do about that, but we'll do something about it anyway.
I will give it a try. Yes. Anyway, 646-721-9887, and like Cliff was saying, we have a lot of topics to talk about, and mainly a group that's really known for, not intentionally, for their humor is our Oregon legislature.
Well, I'm really upset. You know. We've got to do some changes here. We blew it. We didn't do a lot of changes in the Oregon legislature this year. So in 12, we've got to really make some different changes, because they introduced 1,600 bills in the last like two or three days of the legislative session, and that's really bad, because the simple fact is they did this, and I'm sure they did this just so nobody will have time to look at them or do anything about them before they go home, and thinking that, well, they'll come back and they'll just go ahead and pass them. And I find that absolutely atrocious. I find that, if I could get my hands on them, I swear.
Well, it's just like one of the things that I think we covered this on last week's show, where they voted to make the state dog the border collie. Which they designated the Dungeness crab as the state crustacean.
Yeah, so you can't eat Dungeness crabs anymore.
Right. Of course, when they talk about crustaceans, I think about some of the old. Never mind. But okay, to be serious for a moment.
Why?
I don't know. Okay, if when they were running for office, you know. Hi, my name is Joe Smith, and if you elect me, one of the things I want to be sure to do is to have a state dog. You vote for him?
No. Well, I'd vote for him before I'd vote for the one that wants a state crab.
Exactly. And then, then we got the issue about, well, now picture the legislature, for example. You know,
I'd rather not, thank you.
Big people, our big room with a bunch of people in it, you know, yeah. Professional. Okay. and they're getting up and testifying. Mr. Speaker, I feel personally that the Dachshund makes a lot better state dog than the Border Collie, and besides that, he's cuter and more portable.
Okay, well, the first thing, if you're a state legislature, you should know that it's a dachshund. But but if I'm going to pick a dog, well, of course, I like huskies. I like these big, fluffy, big dogs that are really, really pretty. And a Border Collie is kind of pretty, but kind of skinny.
You know, that's just my point. Is I'm just picturing this room having a big argument over the type of dog should be the state dog.
Oh, I agree. There should. Well, you know, and how many hours did they spend, or did they spend any time debating this? And if they didn't spend any time debating this, then that's unfair because all the other dogs didn't get a chance to be heard from.
That's right.
This is all very, very unfair about the whole thing. It's just very sad. So I assume we got the dog. I don't know.
Yeah, we did get the dog, I think. But, yeah, I mean, in this recession, I mean, I know that they, you know, probably don't know what a recession is. But all the things to be discussing and worrying about. I mean, like, here's another one on the list. House Bill, and these are real bills, by the way, folks, in Oregon. House Bill 2909 would require TriMet, which is the bus company up in Portland, to broadcast classical music at light rail station in high crime areas.
Wait a minute. I've heard about that before in the other cities. They do that, and nobody wants to sit there and listen to that crap, and so they don't stay there, and they go away, and there's the high crime area becomes a low crime area.
That's right.
Yeah, and see, that wouldn't bother me because I enjoy some classical music, depending on what it is, but that actually has a tiny little, although very tiny little, grasp on reality. I don't know that I want to do that, but it does have a little bit of a grasp on reality, at least. You certainly don't want to broadcast rap or rock and roll, because then we'll draw crowds, and whenever you draw crowds, you're in big trouble. Even if they don't fight with each other, they'll carve their initials on all of the benches and things.
Exactly.
So,
by the way, I just want to throw in a quick little comment on the phone number, 646-729-7219.
If you're going to do that, at least if you can write.
That's right. Is that one thing Blog Talk Radio has, you can call in and listen to the show on the phone line. When you decide that you'd like to comment, just push 1 on your keypad, and a little hand will come up on my board, and I'll say area code, whatever, and you'll be live on the show.
I can just see this. A little hand comes up and slaps her in the face and says, answer the phone. So
it could happen.
You never know. Computers have been known to do weird things before.
Yeah, but
this could be.
Getting back to the TriMet thing, though, you know, I wonder if they presented studies, you know, that. I mean.
Well, you know, that's the thing that gets to me. Okay, we have the state crab, we have the state dog. Okay, who benefits from this? Who benefits from the state dog? Somebody is benefiting from coming up with a state dog. I mean, I don't believe for a minute our legislators just sat around very upset because we didn't have a dog, but somebody's benefiting from that, and if so, why aren't they paying for it?
Well, exactly.
I mean, I wouldn't mind us putting things on the state, on the floor of the House or the Senate or whatever, if somebody else is actually paying for them. And of course, we need to look it up, and that'd be a good thing to look up and find out how much it costs to have a vote on the floor. And
what's next now? I mean, okay, we got the crab, we got the dog, we need the cat.
Oh, you know,
I'd like to nominate my 2008 Calico.
2008 Calico?
Yeah.
What? This is a cat, not, they don't have models.
Well, I got a Calico cat. It's born in 2008, so it's a 2008 Calico.
Okay. You know, I think it probably is a state cat. We have a state almost anything. I mean, have state flowers and state apples and state this and state that. And it's just, I'm sure, just as as sure as I can be that somebody is making money off of this. And if so, I want to know who and how I can get in on it, because this is ridiculous. I mean,
well, I'd like to know, just out of curiosity, because the City of Eugene, their animal of choice, if you can call it an animal, is the banana slug.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a banana slug?
I didn't know slugs were one was different than another, so I suppose I have, but I don't know.
Well, these things are huge, they're ugly, they're gross, and you don't want to step on them.
I don't want to step on any slug, thank you. But, you know, I haven't seen, I guess Cottage Grove is actually very clean or something, because I haven't seen any slugs here. I mean, they must be here somewhere.
No, they're
but
all over here.
I haven't seen them around. You know, one of the things that you say we have a state slug?
Well, the city, because they have the Eugene celebration, and the representative is the banana slug. I wouldn't be surprised if we have the state slug. Not since we're on the show, we will have a state slug.
So you got to understand that for celebrations, there are all kinds of things that they do for celebrations, that like the Calaveras County frog races and things like that. Those are kind of neat. I don't know. But one of the things I see here that the state legislature is considering is pumping gas.
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to say you can pump your own gas. I mean, right now you literally can't. You can't have to sit inside your car and let somebody else do it. And sometimes I would like to get out and do it myself, but most of the time I'm quite happy with having somebody else do it. But again, I suppose it costs more money for the service station, so the service station's probably pushing to let self-service come back.
I think it's cheaper. I mean, I have mixed feelings on that since I actually left the state for a little bit and got to do it myself, so to speak. And when the stations were closed, it's kind of neat to go in there, you know, put your card in and do it yourself. And if anybody breaks the door off on your gas filler thing, you know, it's only you that's doing it, not somebody else. The downside is, and my only objection to it, is the fact that it's going to cost jobs.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. But it's going to save the service station people money. And, of course, this is the bad thing that's going on. We're worried about cash at this particular moment because everybody needs to save money. And it's costing the service station significantly more money than it is in other states to have enough people out there. Because there are some stations, like the station that I go to all the time, they have to have like three people working there because they're pumping the gas. And if you pull up there and they're all busy, you have to sit and wait. And so there are some downsides to letting somebody else pump your gas. But on the same token, I think we should be able to do it either way. I mean, I don't like the idea of being required to sit there while somebody pumps my gas. But on the other token, there's a lot of times that I like to sit there and let somebody else do the work.
Well, that's true. So. Yeah, another one is Senate Bill 182, which makes English the official state language. That's been proposed. It's also available in Spanish for those who have...
I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. It's available in Spanish. Okay. Gee, did I blow us off the air? No.
And one that I kind of like here, to give them credit, there is one or two that I like. Senate Bill 1.
I'm all for that one.
Proposes a $90 fine for those who drive with an animal on their lap. Now, that's one of my pet peeves, you know. You can't...
One of my pet peeves.
Sorry.
I'm sorry for getting it.
A pet peeve about a pet on your lap while you're driving. But, you know, you see these people, these little dogs hanging out the window, sitting in their lap. You know, you can't drive and maneuver a car effectively with a, you know, a dog trying to take over.
Especially if it's a border collie.
Especially if it's a border collie.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I agree that, of course, you know, that's something that people are going to do stupid things, and you can't stop everybody from doing stupid things. And people who have, I guess I got to be a little bit careful, people who have some class anyway, just won't do that. So I don't know. It's we shouldn't have to make a law about things like that. But in fact, that gets back to my business, my whole, oh boy, here we go.
All right, shouldn't
have to make a law at all. We've got too many laws. It's real simple. Too many laws. So we don't need to keep – that gets back to our bicycle law. They've introduced a law that says that kids under six can't ride bicycles. They can't even ride them in if you've got one of these little trailers right. that you pull behind the bicycle, they can't even put them in there. Well, that's actually saving kids. I mean, you have a baby and you want to go someplace, you put them in a basket in the back. You put them in a trailer, and you pull them around, and it's not a problem. And now they're going to say that they can't do that. They can't – I mean, a six-year-old, how old were you when you learned how to ride a bike? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Did you ever learn how to ride a bike?
Yeah. I learned how to fall over the handlebars and everything. And back then, we didn't wear helmets.
Oh, that's another thing. I'm so tired of our government passing laws protecting me from me. I don't like that. If I'm not smart enough to protect myself, then I'm not going to be real happy about the government doing it. I don't think they can do it and be legitimate about it in the first place. And that's just like the government is trying to legislate morality. You can't do that either, folks. You just simply can't do it.
Well, if you're the government, you had no morality. How can you regulate it? Well,
that's true too. But for example, they were talking about this kid that did the shooting. You can't decide how any. There's no law you can pass to anticipate what took place, because when you've got a person who is mentally unstable, as this kid was, and obviously was. You don't know what he's going to do from moment to moment, because neither does he.
Right.
And so there's no way you can anticipate what's going on. And let's face it, there are people in this United States of America, more than a couple, that are mentally unstable. And that's just ridiculous.
Well, the thing on this bike law, too, is that apparently there's a company here in Eugene, Burley Design, and they've been selling child trailers, as they call them, since 1978. And I guess these trailers cost anywhere from $249 to $579. And there's 18 employees at this company. And they said this bill would put them out of business.
I can believe it, and that's bad. That's bad. Now we're putting people – the legislature passes some laws that makes jobs and makes businesses, and some of the passes, like this one, is going to take them away. And – the thing is, we're here, we're trying to save gasoline, okay? We're in a position where not driving is one of the big things that we're pushing in this country. And yet, so, okay, if you're not going to drive and you have a kid, what are you going to do? You're going to maybe ride a bicycle. And if you've got a small kid, you're going to either, you know, putting a three-year-old on the handlebars is just not real kosher and real safe. So putting them in a little trailer in the back and pulling them along is great. First of all, the kid gets to see what's going on. And if the kid doesn't want to see what's going on and wants to go to sleep, who cares? He can go to sleep, or she can go to sleep. But you still get there, and you get where you're going, and you're not using any gasoline. And we're stymieing that. We're telling people, no, you have to drive now, or you can't go. Well, that's just ridiculous. And so I don't think the legislature thought too much about this. And that's indicative of the fact that they introduced 1,600 bills in the last 10 seconds. They didn't think about it at all. And so we've got to do something about waking our legislature up, perhaps, or perhaps replacing them, so that they do things that are a little more that resemble...
Well, we had the opportunity in November to do that, but I'm sorry, but I was very disappointed in the way most Oregonians voted.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to consider myself chastised because I voted to keep our senators. And, of course, these are state senators. These are our federal people that I voted to keep. I didn't pay much attention to the local and the state senators. But I now that I look back on it, I made a mistake because I thought we were doing good things. And I thought, you know, I look at what's going on, and I do check on these things. I don't just sit there and make up a mind out of a clear blue sky without any thought at all. I do look and see what has our senator done for us recently. And our senators have done a couple of things that were really very good. But now they're going back there, and they're being idiots. They're just being stupid. And I don't like that they vote along party lines. I do not like that. We've got to come up with a third party, which maybe we have, thank God. But we've either got to come up with a third party or eliminate any parties and just have them run. One of the things I get really upset about is especially in the primaries when I can't vote on another party. In other words, I have to register as one or the other,
right,
and I can't vote on somebody else. They don't even offer it. And that's something this state needs to change definitely, because we should have the opportunity to vote on what we want instead of being stuck on, you know, this Republican-Democrat thing is just ridiculous. And there are a couple of things, of course, that have changed since 18-1 or whenever we started all this stuff. And we need to look at these and change some of these.
Yeah, like the fad called the Internet.
Yeah, that has made quite a difference and even though we know it's not going to last.
No, Al Gore kind of set it all up in the beginning. But anyway, one of the things, 646-721-9887, by the way, is the phone number. Give us a call. If you never talked on a talk show before, now's a good time to do it. Give us a call. You can listen to the show on that number. Or if you want to participate, just push 1, and we'll say hello and welcome to the show. There is a bit.
Let's invite the people up in, I've forgotten the name.
I don't know.
St. Helens. Because we've got people up in St. Helens listening, we'd be more than happy to invite you to give us a call. Remember, our show is on at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays, regardless of when you're hearing it, because it is being broadcast delayed. But if you want to tune in at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday on the Internet, we're here.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, if you're at KRBN.com or at Cliff Wilson or CliffRadio.com or any of these other places that have the little, they call them widgets, this little thing on the side of there with our radio show on it, even though it says last week's show on there, right at the very last minute when we hit the button to go on the air, it will change and it will be this week's show live. I watched that yesterday and it's kind of cute.
No, it's only been a year and a half since we've been doing it. Did you finally figure it out?
Well, I don't watch that. I we're busy doing the show. I can't sit there and look at it and see what it does. So I listened to your other show yesterday and watched it and see what it did. And just slicker than...
Okay. Well, anyway, despite the self-promotions here, I want to also throw out, speaking of bicycles, throw out the bicycles, is that another thing that's kind of ruffling the feathers on bicyclists, especially up in Portland area, because it's, you know, Portland, I guess, is the officially number one bike town in this nation. And I kind of agree with this one. Mitch Greenlick, I believe is his name, a Democrat from Portland, Mike Schaefer, Democrat, Happy Valley, House Bill 2602, would prohibit cyclists from wearing devices capable of receiving telephonic communication, radio broadcasts, or recorded sounds while they're riding their bicycle. So basically...
Well, that's absurd.
Well, I know. I kind of agree with it in a way. Because, in fact, to take it one step further, I should think the texting laws should apply to people riding bikes.
I'll go along with texting laws.
And same thing for walking, because we had a couple years ago, we had a girl out here.
Oh my God!
In East Springfield, she had her headphones on. She was texting, wearing dark clothes, walking at night, walked right out into the street, totally oblivious to everything going on around her, and got hit and killed.
Okay, I'm gonna get mail and hate mail and everything else, but if she's that stupid, I mean, you've got to know when you're stepping off the curb into a street. You've got to know that. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how involved you are, or anything else. And if you step off into the street and don't bother to look.
Oh, I agree. I totally. There's adults that do that.
Well,
I think senior citizens that just walk off and off the curb and.
Now that's a little different story. If there's a senior citizen, there's a possibility of dementia or whatever you want to call it. But just normal people, and this was a young girl. What?
I see it a lot. People just kind of step off the curb, expecting cars to just stop. You know, it's like.
That is one thing that our society does. They expect the people to obey the laws, and of course, the law always says that if they're that the automobile is the one who has to be the one that stops. And of course, that's stupid too, because they may not see you.
Well, or it's like this, and because I drive a big truck, you know, I drive a semi, and this has actually happened to me. I've come close. People will come up towards the corner. And they just kind of hang out there, especially if they got friends. You don't know which way they're going to go. And all of a sudden, they decide, we're going to go this way and start stepping off the curb.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't looked to make sure that it's safe to do so, number one.
Yeah.
Then, of course, by law, as soon as they, you know, put their step on the curb, you have to stop at a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't stop on a dime in an 18-wheeler.
That's true.
And these people just think as soon as they step, especially when they don't give any clear intention of what they're going to do, and they just step on that curb and expect you to suddenly, you know, screech the brakes and stops, you know, before they, you know, they just go ahead and proceed before the traffic has stopped. Then they get hit and scream foul, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, I was on the crosswalk. I stepped out and this big, mean truck or big, mean car came out and hit me.
Good.
No, I mean, I don't want to, you know, my goal in life is not to.
Oh, that's true.
But there have been times that I think I've gained a couple years in my life because of what some stupid pedestrians have done.
See, that's, again, back to my business. You also can't legislate intelligence or, I don't know. People are stupid. They're just going to be stupid. That's just all there is to it. And the thing we've got to do is. This all comes back to parenting, because we don't parent anybody. We don't teach our kids anything. We expect the schools to do it, and the schools are not going to do everything, and shouldn't be required to. So we need to get down to there. Maybe we need to have some sort of if we're going to legislate something, we need to legislate required parenting classes. That's what it is. We need to legislate required parenting classes. So
you know, who's going to decide on what you're going to bring Dr. Spock back? I mean, who's going to decide which is the correct way of raising a child?
Well, we do that with everything else. Why not that?
No, I can just see that too. We'll have the border collie come in and teach them.
Well, you know, that gets, again, back to my business of let's get rid of most of these laws, because most of the laws we have on the books are totally stupid, just absolutely totally stupid. And I know we've gone a long ways on this, but I want to bring up what happened last night.
Well, let me add one thing real quick here before we get off the bill things. Now, here's one I kind of agree with. Senate Bill 552 designates the governor as a state superintendent of public instruction as opposed to a separately elected state superintendent of schools. It's House Bill 2934 and Senate Bill 552.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because there's no way the governor can know everything. I mean, he may be smart, he may not be smart, and he changes regularly, but there's no way he can know everything. And we need to have somebody in charge of the schools that at least has an idea of what's going on, although at this particular time and place, I basically disagree with most of what their idea is. But we need to... Huh?
Like the mandatory Spanish?
I don't disagree on that. I don't disagree. I'm sorry. I'm not in agreement with you that Spanish is a bad thing. Whether we like it or not, the Spanish-speaking people are here. And whether we like it or not, we need to teach them how to speak English, as well as, if we're doing that, we need to teach the English people how to speak Spanish. To be able to communicate with each other is probably one of the most important things that we can do in our society. And if that's what it takes, then that's what we should do.
Yeah.
No comment. Okay.
Also, are you familiar with the state's kicker law?
Where they kick back the money?
Under the state law, I forget what the percentage is here, that any amount of money collected over a certain percentage, a projected percentage, is to be sent back to the taxpayers, and every year they are constantly trying to figure out ways to keep that money. Well, again, that's also I was kind of reading and talking at the same time. They're working again to kind of, their suggestion is instead of giving it back to the people, is to set it aside into a reserve.
A rainy day fund.
A rainy day fund, exactly.
And I don't mind, I don't see a problem with that. I really don't see a problem with that, because it's really hard to sit down and decide how much you're going to spend, and then to even more to the point, to decide on how much you're going to get. Because how much you're going to take in depends on the population change, depends on a lot of different things. How much you're going to spend, we do believe we can sit down and figure that out. And of course, we need to put a regulation in there that says how much we can spend. In other words, we have to have limits. We have to cut back on what we're spending, not just keep spending more and more and more. But if we decide to spend X amount of dollars, and something comes up and everybody stops driving, so we don't get any money from gas taxes, then we can't anticipate that. In which case, we won't have enough money, so we could use that rainy day fund at that particular time. So I don't see a problem with the rainy day fund, except that knowing our legislature and our commissioners and all these public people, they're going to go ahead and make the amount that we collect significantly more, so they can always have this rainy day fund, and then they'll try to figure out, like I say, where to spend it.
Or they'll look at it like, okay, now we have all this money over here. I got this pet project, like another bike path, and they'll start tapping it. So my fear is, because they have not proven that they actually can budget their money, especially in, or at least under our current system, that they can't budget their money accordingly, with the priorities. You know, I mean, granted, just like the gas tax that was forced on us in Oregon, 6 cents per gallon that was enacted January 1st. But that was voted on about 2 years back. Well, it wasn't voted on. I take that back. I mean, it was decided on. We didn't get a chance to say anything about it. And, you know, the money's already earmarked. Well, in a recession or when things are bad, like in the economy now, you got to be flexible in your priorities. Like art, for example, is nice when you can afford it. You know, just like going out and having steak for dinner is nice when you can afford it. But even though you may have it in your budget, if you don't have the money for essential services or essential programs, you don't go, you know, you put off that little fancy feel-good expenditure, or you take the money from that and put it where it needs to go instead of where you'd like it to go. Does that make sense?
That absolutely does make sense. But the thing is, one of the things that we have a tendency to do is, let's say we have a park and we want to put something in that is neat. We go ahead and commission the art piece of whatever it is, but we don't pay for it until they deliver it. So I think the thing that should go along with that is that when you commission it, you have to pay for it. And that way you don't come up in 2 years with no money and then find out you still have to pay for it. Or else you put some poor artist in the poorhouse because you didn't pay for it and he's already built it or whatever it was. So they've got to be some rules that...
Well, how about giving us a chance to have some say on it? Like over here in in Springfield, for example, at the new EMX station, they have this big 90-foot funnel. It's just a decorated piece, doesn't do anything but stand there, and I forget I think it was $90,000 or something like that. I don't know. It's a huge amount for this thing, and it came from the federal government as part of their arts program. And of course, the LTD and everybody's going, Lane Transit District is going, hey, this is free money. No, it's not.
Yeah, that's right. There is no free money. There is no free money. I'm sorry.
Oh, here's a bill. House Bill 2749 would create offense of driving while drowsy.
What?
Driving while drowsy.
Well, see, again, you can't legislate morality. I mean, nobody can tell you can't drive while you're sleepy or drowsy or whatever you want to call it. And for that matter, you don't even know until you get in the car. Because, if you get in the car and you're going somewhere and it's anywhere long ways away or whatever, quite often you get drowsy while you're driving. And you can't legislate that. That's just not something you can do. I don't care who you are or how much you think you can do. You just can't do that.
Well, it's already a law that you can't drive while impaired.
Yeah, yeah.
But to add...
I guess that would be impaired.
Exactly. I mean, like in the commercial truck driving, I think it was Michigan that was actually giving citations out and putting truckers out of service for driving drowsy or fatigued because of their neck size.
Their neck size?
Yeah. The state troopers there determined that truck drivers with big necks, obviously the necks are big because they're fatigued and therefore shut them down for the night. A judge ruled against it and I told them to stop doing that, but it's just how some of these laws go.
I say, you know, that's the whole thing is that's why we can't be enacting all of these laws and all of these rules and regulations, because we've got to make sure. See, if we had to vote on it every 5 years, if every law expired after 5 years, people would be thinking a little bit more about the law itself. I believe they'd think about it. It could go two ways. They could just throw everything in there if you want to, but then they got to worry about what to do in 5 years. So we've got to get rid of a lot of this stuff. There's just a ton of this stuff that we absolutely have to get rid of, no doubt about it. It's just terrible, because you can't have that many. You can't make a law that covers everything, you know.
And like getting back to the border collie and the state crab and everything. Okay, now a little background on the Dungeness crab is that it was introduced as a school project. So the kids can learn about how government works. Okay, fine. That's great as far as the school goes, and I don't think there was much time in the legislature over that, because it was a good learning process. I'm not saying it should have been brought up at that
time. It still costs money.
But with everything that's going on, I mean, how would you like to go down in history going, well, I just got elected to represent my people? And by golly, I feel that despite the fact that we have high unemployment here, over 11% unemployment in my area, and we got people living on the streets, and every street corner has somebody begging, I think I should push to have the border collie as the state dog instead of giving people tax breaks.
Yeah, yeah. Which, as far as, of course, you see, that means that everybody has to go out and buy a collie. Because that's our state dog, so you can't have other kind of dogs. You can only have a...
I don't know if that's what that means or not, but it's just that, what we're going to do, erect a statue?
Well, it really doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean a single thing. I mean, we have a state dog, so what? Most people won't even know about it in the first place. And the second place, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you should buy one, doesn't mean you shouldn't buy one. Doesn't mean that you should do anything. I mean, you can still go on about your life just exactly like you went about your life before. All it does is mean that we spent several hundred dollars debating about a state dog, which is just worthless. Not the dog, but the debate.
Well, then we have to have a song for the state dog.
Well, we have a state song.
Yeah, but not for the dog.
That's true. That's true. We've got to, what is your thought?
That's right.
You have a song?
I don't have a song. Let's go to the border collie of the state of Oregon. I don't.
Okay. Now I want to get mad at the Lane County Commissioners.
Okay.
Because they are, again, in fact, the judge last night even said that our Lane County Commissioners, and specifically Rob Handy and Pete Sorensen in this particular case, violated the public meeting law by he called it a sham vote in a public meeting. In other words, what they did is they talked about this ahead of time before they went to the meeting. And he did mention that of course they never had a quorum because that's against the law. You can't get together as a group outside of the group and outside of the time and decide things. But we've only got four commissioners.
Right.
So if Commissioner A and B get together and talk about it and make a decision, and then B and C get together, there's still only two, and they talk about it and make a decision, and then C and D get together and they make a decision. So when you get into the meeting, the decision has been made. And the simple fact is, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to open it up. And obviously what they did is they went in and decided to vote on this, and they didn't give any time for the public in the actual open meeting to discuss it, to talk about it, to do anything. They just brought up this bill and said, okay, we agree, and it's passed, and didn't give any time. Well, and the bad part is the bill is to allow them to hire assistants. This is the way I look at it. Now, this is just my reading of what's going on. They have been... Their salary has been frozen for a couple of years. They can't get a raise for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't find that a problem because they're making $74,000-some-odd a year. I don't find that a poor amount. I find that quite acceptable, especially since almost every one of them is a millionaire. It doesn't make a difference anyway. But they don't get to get a raise. So they decided they want to have money to hire an assistant. So that's what they were voting on, is to pass a bill that says that I don't know if they had a number amount or anything, but each one could hire an assistant. Well, we don't, and first of all, I think they need more than one assistant if they're going to do this. I've talked to Faye Stewart several times, and he has several assistants that he doesn't pay, and they've got them now. So then why are we now deciding we need to pay them? But the point is, when there's not enough money for them to get a raise, there certainly isn't enough money to hire another person. Right. And so, but they went ahead and passed that law or their resolution or whatever it was. And the judge says, no, you talked about that outside of the meeting, and we can't have that. And he chastised all of them. Handy and Sorensen were the two that basically, I don't know how he figured all this stuff out, but he said they were the ones that did it. And Bill Dwyer and Faye Stewart didn't say no. They went along with it, and so they're a part of it as well. But that's the thing that gets to me, is that we've got people who are circumventing the rules or the idea of the rules. And,
well, if I can throw something in there real quick. I have this on my blog as a reminder, people. On Wednesday, February 21st, 2007, when less than 4 months after voters said no on the public safety tax initiative in Lane County, basically this was a 5 cent a gallon tax increase in Eugene, Lane County Commissioners Faye Stewart, Bobby Green, and Bill Dwyer took it upon themselves to decide that the need was greater than the will of the people and enacted the tax anyways.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where this has got to change, because this business of, and I understand that originally the idea of an elected official was that we elected someone that we felt was competent and able to determine our needs and wants and all that sort of thing. But that's got to end. We've got to put everything up to a vote. And I understand that that's going to stymie a lot of laws, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations. It's going to make a lot of people upset because things that they like aren't going to make it. But if you make it, if you have to vote on it, if you have to put it out in front of the public and let them vote on it, then the better man is going to win, whether you like it or not. And even if you disagree that it's the better man, he's still going to win, because it's just, you've got to let everybody have a choice.
Well, there's got to be checks and balances, too. You know, like I keep harping is that, you know, there's got to be a vote of no confidence, that when these people, you know, they say anything to get elected, and then once they're elected, it's, you play like heck to get them out of there or to get any control.
So what does a vote of no confidence do?
It's a way to get you out of office if you are irresponsible. You know, people lost confidence in you. And so with a vote, like the vote of the city council or the vote of the legislature or whatever, or in federal government, the vote of Congress, they can vote to get rid of you. Because right now there is, except for an impeachment, there really is no provisions, and so that's why they get in there and they do their term. They can do anything they want to.
So if we have the vehicle already, which is impeachment, why don't we just use that?
Because the way the impeachment laws are set up is that it takes so long, and it just doesn't work, basically.
So you want a quick way, just somebody gets in mad at somebody, and so they just say, I don't like you, so I don't have any confidence in you, so go away.
Well, not so much just black and white like that, because then we'd lose everybody after, you know, the first 3 months.
Right.
But some type of a checks and balance where it's a lot easier, even just by the vote of the people, you know, if where people can get together and put a petition on the ballot saying, okay, we elected you to... because you promised to help us, and your focus was going to be on jobs, and now you're focusing on making the dog the border collie the state dog, and you know you're not really producing anything else, or you come up with this really silly legislation, and you go ahead and pass these laws, and basically you tell us, well, if you don't like it, you go out and get your 20,000 or 60,000 signatures to put it on the ballot so we can vote on it, which I think is backwards. But there are people that get elected. I mean, I'll say a name just in case I'm wrong. But we had a mayor in Eugene that owned a sign company, and you know he used his position to change the sign rules.
Ah.
You know, so doing a little self-serving. Because why do these people do this? Is I guess is a big question. Like here's one for example: Senate Bill 5. Which is, you know what an athlete agent is?
A what? An athlete agent?
Yeah. You know, somebody that goes out and
reads. Yeah, them. Yeah.
Okay. This bill, Senate Bill 5, modifies the definition of athlete agent and expands the application statute to regulate athlete agents, including agents representing student athletes at elementary and secondary schools.
What?
The requirement requires athlete agents to, and I'm reading straight from the bill here, to notify educational institutions in writing before initiating contact with student-athletes, provides that the Department of Justice may impose civil penalties for violation of statutes relating to athletic games, directs the department to impose civil penalties for certain violation punishments, certain violations of statute relating to athlete agents by a maximum 1 year imprisonment, $6,250 in fines, or both.
Wow. I agree and disagree. I think that they should be required to let the school or let somebody, the parents, whomever, everybody should be notified if the student has a negotiator, let's say.
Yeah, but that should be between the parents and the student.
Not necessarily, no. Absolutely not. It should be, everybody should know about it. Everybody, absolutely everybody should know about it. Because I don't think a elementary school or a high school student needs somebody to help them out with that. I mean, that's too early. Yeah. If you want to in college, if you want to hire an agent to look out for your, but again, that should be public knowledge, because that gives them a step up. I just don't think it's necessary. If the student can't do it his own, I'm really upset about that, because that's just not something that we should be considering. that's you're supposed to be going to school to learn something,
right?
And how to negotiate a better contract for football player isn't what we're supposed to be learning. Reading, writing, and arithmetic should have something to do with it. And we're not learning that because our math scores are worldwide we're like number 27. And we used to have the best education system in the world, and now we're number 27? Come on, folks. And so we need to do something about getting back to educating our population. Not only that, do you know what our dropout rate is?
I think it's pretty high, if I remember.
Yeah, like 57%.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. And of course, that's you can't really just put that in a mass number because different states, different districts, different counties, it's different.
Yeah, but I know that there's been some people proposing legislation like making it so you can't have a driver's license, for example, if your grades aren't up, which I have mixed feelings over. But has anybody really done a study and asked the students why they dropped out?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of different studies that have been done on that. And, of course, there's as many answers as there are studies. But the point is, regardless of why, they did. And they, as a general rule, did it because a lot of times, I agree, there are a few people who were just lazy and didn't want to bother to go to school or whatever. There's so many things behind this. Again, it comes back to parenting. Again, it comes back to taking responsibility for your kids. And again, you can't legislate that, but we need to do it as a population. The thing that I want to see, rather than legislation, look at what we did about smoking. We made this just concerted effort and a campaign to convince people that smoking was bad for you. Every other commercial on television for years told that smoking was bad for you, putting warning signs on the side of the package, all these kind of things. And finally, it took several years, yes, but we figured it out, and people don't smoke as much as they used to, not anywhere near as much as they used to.
Well, I want to throw something in real quick. We have 2 minutes left in the show. I'm a high school dropout. And I dropped out on the 10th grade because of the school schedule and what they offered, and I went and got my GED.
Hmm.
But because I felt it was a waste of time. But anyways, I want to give, a promo for next week's show because we're going to have a special guest next week, Joe Dybell, and the Angel Anchors Horse Haven Rescue Incorporated, again, an organization dedicated for saving horses bound for slaughter for human consumption. And it's going to be a really important show. I really hope that you'll tune in and call in with your stories, questions, and it's very interesting. Some of the stories she'll tell will just make you cringe.
Wow.
So call, give her your support, and send us an email if you have any questions. If you can't make it, talk at krbnradio.com.
I want to say one quick thing, because I keep pushing this. Watch out. The price of gasoline is going to go up to $5 this year. A gallon. Ford Motor Company just sold 40% more cars in China than it did here. And that's not a few. It's 10,000 cars here and 500,000 cars in China. And they're going to all need gasoline. And you're going to have to watch. Things are going to happen. This is a pivotal year.
And it's going there. That's it for another show. Again, thanks for our guests in the chat room and the people that listen live on the phone and KOHI 1600 AM St. Helens for tuning in, and we'll catch you again next week.
Absolutely. You have a great day, and see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.